Shall we pray?
Our blessed eternal Father, we come before you this morning with gratitude unto you for seeing us through this past week that ended few hours ago. Thank you for what you have been to us since the beginning of this month. Lord, it's been a week now that this month started, and your grace, your mercy, your love, your blessing, your power, your healing, your deliverance, your protection, many, many things that you have done for us. We are witnesses of your faithfulness again. Thank you. Thank you for abundant blessings to receive in your house, for the opportunity you give us, Lord, in our personal studies. We bless your name. Lord Jesus, thanking you, Lord, for crossing us to a new week, the second week of the month. We are grateful to you. Thanking you, Lord, because we know you have your blessings in store for us. You have your plans and programs already, Lord God Almighty, in the print, Lord, and we know you are working on those things to bring us to what you want us to be. And that's why you have made a way for us to come to your house for the betterment of our souls and the healing of our body. We are grateful to you. You that helped us this past week, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, your power hasn't diminished and will never diminish. Lord, we are trusting and believing, according to your words, that you can do more for us than you did for us this past week. So we're in expectation of your favor, of your blessing, of your hand to be stretched forth into our lives, to rid us of Satan's manipulations, Lord, and that you give us deliverance, Lord, and lift us above the level that we know before. Lord, cause us to know you better, because in knowing you better, we'll be able to love you better, and then we'll be able to serve you better. Thank you, our Father. As we present ourselves before you this morning, we are needy, and thou alone can meet our needs. We ask, Lord, that you cleanse us from every unrighteousness and show us your grace, eternal Father. Thank you. Let it be, Father, Lord, that while you are blessing others, Lord, we are not left alone. If the enemy has determined to rob off of your blessings, may you raise a standard on our behalf. Give us grace to cooperate and to surrender our heart to you. Let the sinner find grace to surrender. Let the backslidden find grace to look back unto you. Let the saint find grace to attain higher ground. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless and we honor you. All the glory, all the praises will be unto you. For this we ask in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. God bless you. As you open our Bible to Revelation chapter 5, learning that I think there's going to be a little change. I think Pastor will give the further announcement because of the visiting minister. Yeah. So, what I announced last Sunday was that today hence our background, and then from next week we start the revelation of the seven seals. But we're going to have a visiting minister next week. So it's after that we're going to start that. So God bless you. Revelation chapter 5, we read from verse 1 to 7. And then after that we read Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 7. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereof. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seas thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Amen. Revelation chapter 10. Because you can be seated. Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, the seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophet. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. As we continue with the background, drawing our inspiration from the sermon, the bridge between the seven churches and the seven seals. May the Lord bless us. last Sunday, we were speaking of the Revelation chapter, the angel of Revelation chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1. That is the same angel with the Reverend. But this morning we want to channel a different, another course from the sermon. I want to look at some issues that the prophet pointed out. That is, the prophet said the Holy Ghost is a seal. Let's address that while we move forward and trust that we'll be able to complete and then move on to another point that I put down here. So, but we start with that. In the paragraph 66 of the sermon, the bridge, the prophet has this to tell us. In reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, you can project for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The prophet brought this thought unto us, which is very important. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The prophet said, in whom we also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The prophet said, see, back to the sermon. Yeah, we read that. Now, why we got the scriptures open? See, the Holy Spirit here itself is a seal. Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed. You know? So So the Holy Spirit itself is a seal. The Holy Spirit is a seal. And a seal signifies what? A finished work. The Holy Spirit being a seal to the individual. That is the individual that is justified, that is sanctified, and is filled with the Holy Spirit. Means that it's a complete work. The work of redemption, as far as we are here, in the soul of that person, is complete. What is left is for the redemption of the body, which will take place during rapture. For the living saints, and then for the sleeping saints, will come down from the sixth dimension with their theophany to pick their glorified body. And that is when the scripture is fulfilled. That's when the redemption is complete for the elect of God. The we that are alive shall not prevent them that sleep, but we shall all be caught up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the changing of the believer that is still alive here, we will change, our body will change in the twinkling of an eye to our glorified body. That we are lifted by the supernatural of God, by the spirit that dwells in us, to pick our theophany in the sky. Then we become one with those who are in their theophany and then picking their glorified body. So we become the same. But they will rise first to pick their own. Praise be to God. So this Holy Spirit means finished work. So there is no further work to be done in the soul of the individual. That's what this seal is all about. And the prophet told us, and that is why the emphasis on the Holy Spirit cannot be too much. It cannot be too much. The prophet may give us an example of a railroad or a company who, it's a logistics company. Logistics company, and they are sending their goods to another place, and it's going to go through the road through a cargo. If you have seen any cargo carrying vehicles, they will arrange those vehicles on top, and you will see the way they are properly packed and sealed. The prophet said before they will leave the station, the inspector, the loading inspector will come there and come and check whether there is any looseness. Because any looseness on that, on the package, on the products they are packing together to, take to somewhere else, if it's not properly done, there is looseness on one side. When it goes on the road, the bumping of the road might cause the vehicle to drop off. Then it's a great loss to the supplying company or to the loading company. So the inspector, we have to ensure that this product or products are well packed. And until then, that the inspector comes and put a seal on it. And the prophet said, when the inspector comes and puts a seal on it, it means that nothing disturbs that product on the gets to its final destination. The bumping up and down on the road, there might be potholes, there might be this, it might tease this way, the product is not going to drop off. That is why the prophet told us that there is standard security for the believer. The believer that is genuinely filled with the Holy Spirit. And then being filled with the Holy Spirit is in the soul, not in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, signs and wonders can be performed, miracles can be performed, preaching can be done, but the life remains unchanged. The soul remains unconverted. Yet, the person performs signs and wonders, he preaches, he does things, but the soul is unchanged. The soul is unconverted. But once a man is filled with the Holy Spirit in the soul, he's a new creation. It becomes a new creation. So a man that has the anointing in the spirit, that is not regenerated, that is not born again, is not a new creation, yet can perform signs and wonders. The anointing will make him to do things, possibly what the true believer can do. But the difference is that the person cannot live the life of that anointing. The righteous life of God
can be lived by that person.
Praise be to God.
And that is where our message is different from the denominational messages. This we have just said now is not in the purview of the denomination. They don't know anything about it.
So far you can speak in tongues, whoever you are, as long as you can speak in tongues, they believe you are filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, they do not take the Holy Spirit as the key thing that takes you into rapture. They don't take it as the thing that takes you into rapture. They believe that once you can speak in tongues, once you believe Jesus, that Jesus is your... I mean, that is why they will preach and say, whoever wants to give their life to Christ will come to the altar. And there they pronounce the people born again. They on their own pronounce the people born again. They will say, Father, write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not in the position. God has not given that right to any human being. You can command God to do something. Even in praying for something, we plead. We supplicate. We don't advocate. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is the one. So it is true. He is the one that takes our prayer ultimately and presents it. That is why no man can go to the Father but by him. So the denominations don't know this, and that is the mystery that the revelation of the seven seas have come to give us. How to be truly saved. How to be certain that you are saved. Those are the mysteries, part of the mysteries revealed. And that is what we mean when the prophet keeps referring to Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I said unto you, Elijah the prophet, he shall go in the spirit and power of Elias, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, John the Baptist, and then went forth and in the big part of it, and he shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers. Speaking of Malachi, speaking of our time, William Aaron Branham, the second forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the first runner of Jesus, Abraham the second forerunner of Jesus Christ. And in each of these forerunning, Jesus appeared. John introducing Jesus appeared, isn't it? Abraham introducing him, he also appeared in this form. And that is what the prophet taught us last Sunday when he said, Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 angel, that is Christ. He came down putting his feet on the earth. Physically, he didn't do that physically that you will see. But by fulfillment of the scripture, just like Abraham told us that when John the Baptist was preaching to the people and said that the axe is laid to the root of the tree, every tree that didn't bring forth fruit, he hewn down. Mountains shall skip, and the mountains shall be, he shall make the mountain high, the valleys to be filled, and the high mountains to be low. The prophet said, people will think bulldozer will be on the hill and will be bulldozing the hill and leveling them. Abraham said it's not in the physical. He said it was when John was preaching that you green snake under green grass, that the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree that doesn't bring forth fruit should be hewn down. The prophet said that was when the high mountains were being made low. Fulfillment of scripture does not go with the thinking of woman, natural human being. And that is why there is need for a prophet to interpret the scripture. You can never make it out to know the mind of God outside of a vindicated prophet, a messenger to that age, not just the fivefold. I mean, not the fivefold, not just the fivefold, not the fivefold. It's not in his jurisdiction. Declaration of God's plan and program for that age is given to that man alone. And every other member of the five must follow him and say only what he says. Praise be to God. So the seal is a finished product. All right, let's continue. So the Holy Spirit is a seal. A seal signifies a finished product.
The Holy Spirit being a seal to the individual. And to that individual, when he receives the Holy Spirit, then his time of groaning
is over. See?
Because it is finished product. Groaning in what? Sin. You can groan a body for sickness. You can groan a body for hunger, agonies of life, trials, and the rest of it that any human being is subject to, the Christian is subject to it. That's not the groaning here. There is an aspect of groaning that we are going to look at in Revelation chapter 8. Different from this groaning that the Christian is delivered from. Is sin groaning? According to what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the rest. And that's why the prophet told us that the Holy Spirit is a rest. Resting from our labor of sin. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Not somebody that does bris away. Not somebody that is a woodcutter. Or somebody that is digging gutter. Or somebody that is a bricklayer. Somebody that is a mechanic that is carrying big engine. Sweating all day long. That's not the kind of labor. We must labor that. If that is the area of your profession, you must do it to get money. It is the rest against sin. Struggling to live holy life, and there is no power to live it. The bondage of sin. Somebody under the bondage of sin that lusts, that steals, that lies, that does all sorts of things. Immorality, ungodliness. According to John chapter 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world and the things of the world. He that loves the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not. The prophet said that love of the world, that word there means cosmos, the world order, the way the world does things. And you know the way the world does things is different from the way God does things. So if you follow the way the world does things, you will be a modern brother. You'll be a modern sister. Then you are following the trend of the world. But when you follow God's own order, then you are working in God's will, in God's program. Because see that love the world and the things of the world will perish with the world. But they that do the will of God abide forever. Amen. So groaning of this man now, he ceases from his sin. He ceases from his labor that like God also rested from his own labor. Hallelujah. Previously, when we were talking about the sermon, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride, the first square city, if you can remember. We talk a whole lot about this, talking about the millennium and what the rest is all about and all other things. I hope you can remember that. God bless you. So his days of groaning is over. He's now resting. He doesn't struggle with sin any longer. Sin has no more dominion over him. Sin has no more dominion over her. He or she now controls the atmosphere. He controls the things around him. Things around him no longer control him. He's now under the leadership and supervision of the Holy Spirit. He's not under the dictate of the desire of the flesh. Desire of the flesh does not control him. He controls it. Because the Spirit of God now dwells in him. And that is why it is very easy to relate with your brother, to relate with your sister. It's very easy to bear with your brother, to bear with your sister. And in bearing with one another, sometimes we take things for granted. In bearing with ourselves, we take things for granted. But let's not take things for granted. If you are a true Christian, what you will want others to do to you, you will do to them. And you know that's even a scripture. The Spirit of God in you will make you to do things to others that you will want them to do to you. What you cannot take, the Spirit of God will never allow you to do it to another person. The Holy Spirit in you will never allow you to do to another person what you cannot take. If you do to others what you cannot take, then you have not the Spirit of God. Because it means that you are selfish, you are self-centered. You don't seek the good of your brother, you don't seek the good of your sister. Amen.
His days of groaning is over. See,
because it is a finished product. The redemptive work of Christ is complete in the soul of that man. God is doing nothing in the soul of that man, because once the Holy Spirit comes, God is not doing anything again in the soul of that man. The man only accumulates more faith.
By the grace of God, one of these days we'll come and look at what is the rapturing faith. We're going to a little teaching on it. What is the rapturing? What do we call the rapturing faith? And so,
the believer keeps accumulating rapturing faith. That's the next thing he does. He keeps accumulating. As he feels on the wall, his faith keeps building. Keeps building. Keeps building. He gets to know God the more. The prophet said he doesn't come to the church to be built up. He's always built up. He doesn't get to the church to come and be encouraged. But he can be blessed by the word, because it's God, the word of God is eternal. Not that he cannot be blessed, not that because his Holy Spirit is always built up that he should sit at home. Because that should also be understood. So the fact that if the prophet said he doesn't come to the church to be built up does not mean he can sit down at home. And another quote says that you cannot be a better Christian when you sit at home than somebody that comes to church. You see, these things must be balanced when we are applying them to our lives. Oh, well, if I don't go to church, it doesn't matter. I know where I stand. The prophet said that I don't go to church to be built up. Okay. You are breaking another scripture. And the Holy Spirit will not make us to do that. He wrote the word. You know, sometimes I think, I look at the Lord Jesus Christ. I try to look at him. Look, the life that he lived while he was here, following every scripture. Not that he carried the Bible, he was reading like we do. You have to read the Bible before you know what God says. Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit feeds on the word. You have to read the Bible to know what he says. But it's the word manifested in flesh. So every step he takes and that he took, he was fulfilling scripture. Every reaction, every turning he did, it was the word. Every time he reacted, if he shouted, it was the word he was fulfilling. If he spoke lowly, he was fulfilling scripture. He didn't need to put anything into gear. And that is what we must also be. Because it's that same spirit that is in him, that is sent on the day of Pentecost. It's that same spirit that has been restored to us through the sermon, through the message of the hour. If we truly have that same spirit, that must be our expectation. That must be knowing God the more. This is how he lives, this is the way he is, and that is the way I must be. Praise be to God. He's the word in everything that he did. And then we must be representative too. When that spirit is in us, we are going to be like that. It's not you struggling. The day of groaning is over. The days of groaning are over. No more struggling to do what is right. No more struggling with sin. It becomes an easy thing for you to do. It's not a manual venue any longer. It's an automatic. A man that is not a Christian, yet that is not filled with the Holy Spirit, is a manual venue. You have to clutch to put it in your gear. Oh, merciful God. If you don't clutch very well, you will try to put it in gear, you will cry, you will hear cry. Do you understand? Well, the people that we understand are people who have used manual venues and that have also used automatic. You crank it. If it's gear one in the manual, if you is gear one you are using, if you don't change it, you will continue with gear one. He can't change on his own, but he will be shouting. Modify cool. Modify. That's the sound he will be giving you. Then you know, say, okay, this gear is getting tired. Let me change it to gear two. If it's gear one, then gear two to gear three. Or you could change from gear 2 to gear 4, depending on the terrain where you are moving it. But automatic, once you start it, and you engage the gear, As you accelerate, he changes, he advances. Giving a good road. In fact, you have to use your brake to control it. It's just going. It's just going. That's what the Spirit does to make a Christian live by God's word.
May the Lord give us revelation.
A Christian is an automatic man. He's an automatic machine. He's an automatic divine machine. You don't need to clutch before you turn into gear. He knows when to. Even if you are using manual and you are running at gear 3, and you suddenly meet a venku or something that will cause you to apply brake, the moment you apply brake, you will have to change the gear. Either to gear 1, depending on the speed. If you don't do that, oh my panama lower. Tabi kodun kaka and try to pick. But if it is automatic, once you get to the place that you slow down, you apply the brake, it automatically changes the gear. It automatically changes the gear. And when you accelerate again, it picks. That is a Christian. All these physical things, properly understanding them, they are speaking about God's product too.
May the Lord be our help.
Like I used to work for the railroad company, and we would load box cars with cans and different things from the candy. I just want to read it because what I said is what the prophet said here. Only that to talk about the candy factory. But then before that car could be sealed, the inspector come around to see if that car was properly loaded. If not, the first time it rammed together with something, it will scatter the stuff and break it. And the railroad company was responsible. And that inspector would test everything to see if it was properly in place. If it wasn't, he condemned the car. Then we had to do it all over again until the inspector was satisfied. And then when the inspector is satisfied, he shuts the door. The inspector shut the door and the inspector places a seal upon it. And then no one can break this seal until it reaches its destination. And that's why it says that grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of your what? Redemption. So the seal is upon the believer, nothing breaks it. That is what the Holy Spirit has been doing. He goes and he inspects. That's the reason you can't have these things. I spoke in tongue and I shouted, I danced in spirit. That don't have nothing to do with it. See? The Holy Spirit inspects that person until he is thoroughly satisfied and knows that they are. Then they are sealed unto their eternal destination. There is nothing can ever break that seal. You are putting your scripture down, Ephesians 4:30. Say, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of your redemption. Hold that word, redemption. See, until the day that the book of redemption has been revealed, and the Redeemer comes to claim his possession. Nothing can do it. See, don't grieve it. Do things that please God. For the book is sealed now, and you are sealed. The Holy Spirit itself is the seal. Seal also signify, this is words I got from the dictionary. Seal signifies a finished work. And when the seventh seal is broken, the mystery of God that has been sealed in this mystery seal is finished. When the seal is broken. Until the day that the seal is broken, and then it's revealed what is on the inside of it. If the man is wondering what's in that box car, say, there's supposed to be such and such, there's supposed to be, he's presuming. But when the seal is broken, and the door is open, we see into it then, and see exactly what is in there. You see, it's talking about the seven seals now. They are sealed. Nobody knows what is inside. Just like the venku is sealed, and it's sealed completely, locked up, and the doors are closed, and it's going. You don't know what is in there until you look at the way bill. The abstract to that product. And when you get to the destination where the venku is bound to go, and then the way bill is given to the people that will receive, they look at it, okay, this is what we are expecting, they open it. When they open, they see it. Okay, these are the products. They confirm that these are the products that we are expecting. There is supposed to be a presuming, but when the seal is broken and the door is open, we see what is in there exactly
what is in there, you see?
And that only be done, that will only be done at the end time, the revelation of the seals. Another thing is, it signifies his ownership. See, the seal has a mark on it. It shows ownership. Like the way B shows where who is to receive the product. It's ownership. When you are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost, you no longer belong to the world or anything pertaining to the world. You are owned by God. Another thing is a seal is security. Seal means you are secure. Now, you that don't believe in eternal security, I don't know, see? But a seal signifies security to his destination. Nothing tampers with it along the road until he gets to the destination before it's opened. Woe unto that guy that will try to break that seal. And the Holy Spirit's seal cannot be broken because it's God that did the sealing. Satan cannot open it. No demons in the world can open it. They cannot interfere with the believer's life to make him not to make his eternal destination. May the Lord be our blessing. God bless you. Let's bow our heads.
Shall we pray? Our blessed Lord, we are grateful to you again this morning for bringing us together to sit at your feet to further learn more of you. Thank you for the storehouse where you caused your servant to store the message of the hour so that we can go in there, take a portion, warm it on our knees in prayer, and come and serve it to the bride. Father, we are very grateful that a portion will be served again this morning. Lord Jesus, may the blessings be permanent in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bless your servant that you are graciously used to bring this word unto us. For the preacher and those of us that are preached unto, Lord, may your grace continue to perfect all that concerns us, making us ready for that 0 hour where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be changed. But we shall gather together to meet with you in the air, and so shall we ever be with you. We know that us, says the Lord, cannot fail. We believe you, Lord. Anything that will make us to believe anything contrary to your word or act contrary, we know that is the devil, that is our enemy. May we never say yes when we are supposed to say no. Help us, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Master. Be with your servant for the rest services ahead of it. We pray, oh God, that the next of the services, you will take us further in your blessings. Thank you, Master. We love you because you first of all loved us. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.